I'm on. Good morning, everybody. I look around and I see a lot of familiar faces, every one of you actually, and it's kind of touching to me. Just to let you know right up front that I'm excited, very excited to be here this morning, and under the circumstances, even more excited to be here, because maybe I could say something in the next few days that will help you, that will edify you, and for those who visit among you who are not a Christian, hopefully I can say something that will convince them that they need to obey the gospel. That's why they call it a gospel meeting, right? It's gospel-centered, and it should be easy to understand, and it should be something that you can calculate in your own minds and be able to walk away knowing what I said and understand what I said. And I hope that something I can accomplish while I'm here. And, you know, I hold a very special place in my heart for all of you. I think about you every day. I can't pray for you all by name every day, because then I'd have to start all over, because the next day would already be here. But I think of you as my home congregation, as my home family, and so this is very important to me to be here, and I want you to know that I'm especially honored, and I feel very privileged to have the opportunity to be here. This first lesson is all about why I came to be a Christian. And I'm not going to talk to you about how I became a Christian or why I became a Christian, but I will tell you it's because I was invited to become one. And I was invited to go to a gospel meeting just like this across town, and that's where I obeyed the gospel. And so I know that gospel meetings work, because it worked on me. And hopefully, if you are somebody who has considered the gospel, or somebody who is a mature Christian, has sat down with you and has tried to reason with you about the gospel, then maybe something I say this morning will stir you up and finally cause you to make that decision to obey the gospel. The gospel works, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But the gospel is still God's power of salvation, and it is still powerful, and it still works. But you got to get there. You have to be able to hear it, and in order to hear it, it involves you, and it involves me. You have to invite somebody to hear it. Very rarely does somebody come across the gospel by accident, and or stumble across it just out of chance. It's because of a friend or a family member or somebody who has extended a hand and asked them, will you come hear the gospel? Will you come to a meeting? Or will you come to church with me? Or will you come and sit down with me and look at the Bible with me? So what we're talking about this morning is how powerful those invitations can be. And there's something about an invitation that is special. We feel special whenever somebody invites us to certain events. Invitations make us feel accepted by a group or a person, a club or a something that, you know, would take their time and recognize me to offer to me the chance to come. And so it makes us invitations to anything. Makes us feel important. A man, for example, might invite a lady out on a date, and we all know that feeling of how that makes us feel when we're invited to go out with who could potentially be our lifelong spouse, right? A family might invite somebody over for supper. And that makes us feel special because That's more personal, and it allows us the opportunity to get to know them. But you know, they took their time. They're going to make a meal, and they're going to invite us over to sit at their dinner table in their living room to talk with them, and spend their energy to and invest their efforts on me. And so it should make us special when kids are invited to a birthday party. You know, you remember how that felt when you were invited to a birthday party? Or better yet, do you remember how it felt when your friend was invited to a birthday party, but you weren't? And so we recognize that being invited is important. You know, it makes us feel special. Parents who are invited to weddings or graduations. You know, I invited everybody to graduation because I knew the more that I had, the more money I would get at the graduation. Not quite as personal, and I think that I think that the parents and grandparents are kind of wise now to that notion. Holiday parties, you know, being invited over to somebody's house during the holidays is something special. It makes us feel like that we're part of something, that we're part of a group. In this study, I want us to understand that invitations are important in the Bible as well. And how does that relate to me? And what does that say about me and how, what kind of efforts I make to get somebody here to church, to invite somebody to sit down and read the Bible? Because both God and His Son extended invitations in the Scriptures. And you find that disciples or followers, people who have met Jesus, extended invitations to their families and their friends as well. And so in this study, I want us to look at some of the invitations that are found in the Bible, starting off with some divine invitations. God invites sinners. You'll find this often throughout the beginning, from the beginning to the end of the Scriptures, that God is inviting sinners. The Scriptures tell us in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." But He says, "Come, let us reason together." You know, Christianity is an emotional thing, but it's a reasonable thing. It's an intelligent thing. God is beckoning people to come to Him through means of their own intelligence to hear what He has to say about Himself and about how to be saved. He's inviting us. He's not forcing us to come. No one is. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, you know, kids used to be drugged to church, you know. But God isn't dragging us to church. He's not dragging us to the dinner table to hear a Bible study. He's inviting us. He's asking us to come. And it is never forced upon anybody, because He wants us to understand that not only is believing and serving Him a reasonable and an intelligent thing, but it is a very special thing, because He gives us the ability to choose whether or not we are going to serve Him. Come now, let us reason together. And as we understand through the Scripture, when we do reason with God, when we are willing and obedient, then He blesses us. He offers forgiveness of sin to those who are willing to obey Him. And there are a lot of great and wonderful things to expect from God because of His invitation. Also, not only does He invite sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that's you and me and everybody else, but He invites the destitute. You know, you don't find often people going through the streets, you know, down Highway 80 or in, you know, in the neighborhoods and just asking people randomly if they want to come to their child's birthday party or their daughter's wedding or something like that. We tend to group people. We tend to separate people, but God does not do that concerning His will. He invites everybody to come. He has extended the invitation. Isaiah, again, in Isaiah 55 in verse 1, he says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price." The gift of God is free. And He wants us to understand that what He has to offer, it is by grace. It is because He is loving. And so He has invited all who will hear Him. Those who are willing to hear Him. Those who are willing to obey Him, from the richest to the poorest, all around the world, everybody. And that's why Jesus extended the gospel to every creature, to the whole world, because He's inviting everybody to come hear and obey. And those who are willing to obey Him will have that thing which truly satisfies: spiritual nourishment, spiritual fulfillment. And it only comes through God, but God is inviting everybody to come to Him to take it. And when we speak of Jesus in His ministry, we often find Him doing the same thing. He invited the weary. He invited those who were heavy with sin, those sins which were weighty and heavy on them and were bearing down on them. They could not bear the weight of that. And he says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Those who are heavy laden with sin, come to Him, come to Christ. He offers spiritual rest. The rest that He offers, it comes whenever those who come to Him are willing to become His disciples. Those who follow Christ and do what He says, He offers rest. He offers His yoke. And He said His yoke is light. And we find even at the very end of our Bibles, the Holy Spirit in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so what we have here is we have the Father saying, "Come." We have His Son saying, "Come." And we have the Holy Spirit saying, "Come." And again, they're not forcing anybody. They're not forcing, they're not hog-tying anybody and dragging them off to hear a Bible lesson. They are inviting. And they are offering great blessings to those who actually do come and listen and obey those things that they say. And there's great reward in coming and obeying God. All who desire the water of life, those who are truly seeking after spiritual nourishment, seeking after truth, those who are seeking after God, God invites them. God is inviting you to come and hear. Everybody who is thirsty. We see that in the Scriptures, God's message is often in the form of an invitation. Invitations are very special things. They make us feel special whenever we're invited to come. And so it should not surprise us, therefore, that servants of God as well should often reach out to the lost in the form of an invitation. You find that as well in Scriptures. And this is actually prophesied. Again, we're going to turn to Isaiah. And Isaiah said in chapter 2 and in verse 1, it said, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days, that's these days, the days that you and I are living in right now, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so you have here Isaiah prophesying about the excitement that people are going to have, and the invitation that is the reflection of that excitement. This was foreseen by Isaiah. Many would invite their friends to learn about God. See, being invited, it often says a lot about how somebody thinks about you when you receive an invitation. But also, in the Scriptures, the invitation is often significant because of the event or the person that the invitation represents. And folks, there's nothing more significant than hearing the word of the Lord, the gospel message. That is a great significance. And so whenever we reach out and extend an invitation to somebody to come to church and listen to the word of God, not only are you telling them that I love you and I think that you should hear the word of God, but you're also magnifying God's name. And you're magnifying his message and acknowledging the fact that there is a very significant and very special thing that these folks need to come take witness of and be a part of, the gospel. And so when we think about inviting, we need to understand the significance of what we are actually inviting them to hear, the potential of the salvation of a soul, the potential of somebody giving their life to Jesus Christ and serving Him instead of serving sin. And so it's a very significant and very powerful thing, an invitation. But also when we look through the Scriptures, you find several folks practicing this invitation. Excited that they get to see somebody so significant they have to go tell their friends and family. And you see this in Andrew, in John chapter 1 and verse 40, who whenever he met Jesus, he invited Peter to meet Jesus. Did you know Peter met Jesus because of an invitation? And Peter's a very significant fellow in the New Testament. But in the very beginning, it was because somebody asked him, come. And meet Jesus. In John 1:40, it says about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother Simon, that is Peter, and said to him, we've found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. And so we have here the beginning of Peter's discipleship. Whenever we look at somebody and we understand the significance of the gospel message, come. We found the Messiah. We found Jesus. You can hear all about him here at our congregation on Sunday morning. The preacher is going to preach a gospel sermon where you're going to learn about Jesus. You're going to learn about salvation for your soul. A very special and significant thing. Andrew understood that. He understood what it meant to meet Jesus, that he was Savior. And so he had to go tell Peter. And also Philip, who invited Nathanael to meet Jesus as well. In verse 43 of the same, the following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see for yourself what the Bible has to say about truth, what the Bible has to say about life and salvation, about death, about eternal life. Come learn about what the Bible has to say about you." Very important aspect of inviting somebody is understanding and appreciating, not so much appreciating in a good way, but having the understanding of the condition of their soul whenever you invite them. And if we truly appreciate this, then it should motivate us to want to, just like Andrew and just like Philip, come and see. Come and hear the Messiah. And also you have the example of the Samaritan woman who, when she heard the man who knew everything about her, as she said, Jesus, she went and told all of her neighbors as well. And then you have the example of Matthew, who was a tax collector, who became a disciple of Jesus. And as a disciple of Jesus, he gave a feast to introduce Jesus to all of his acquaintances in his own house. And it says, "And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them." Luke 5:27-29. He took the opportunity by association with these other fellows of the same trade to invite them to come hear Jesus. And you, in your own occupations, get to meet people, and you see people every day. You can relate to them. Invite them. Come and hear about Jesus. Come and learn why I believe the way I believe. Come and learn about the hope that I have. A very powerful thing, extending a simple invitation to somebody else to come hear the gospel message. And very significantly, you have the example of Cornelius. Whenever he learned that Peter was coming to his house, and he learned that Peter was going to tell him words by which he and his house could be saved, Acts 11:14, he didn't come alone. He brought his family and his friends. And so we all have our group, our tribe, as we call it. If they're not here with us, we should make every effort to get them here with us. And we should express in the best way that we can the significance and the importance of why they need to be here. Hear the gospel message. Understand that many in the New Testament came to know Jesus by way of an invitation. And so it can be the same way today. And so what we need to do now is consider the power of an invitation. We've seen it at work as we've been talking through these scriptures. We've seen that both the Father and Son, God and Jesus, extended their invitation. And the effect of that was souls were saved. Or we would say souls were won. People became followers of God, became disciples of Jesus Christ. We found the example of the disciples who extended invitations. And because of these invitations, they won souls to Christ. And I'll go out on a limb and say that most people today have been saved because they have received an invitation. But not only have received one, but they have taken advantage of it. They came and they heard, and maybe they obeyed then, or maybe it sparked an interest, and so it allowed us to go in and talk to them a little more about the gospel and what God wants from us, or they came back to another service and obeyed at a later time. But, you know, such is the case as many people I know, and like I said, including myself, and I wouldn't be here today preaching before you that I know of if I hadn't been invited to a gospel meeting. And so it's very significant, the invitations. And we sometimes tend to just throw it to the side because we see it as weak, as not really making much effort. Because after all, it doesn't take much effort to just invite somebody somewhere. But there's great significance and great power just inviting somebody to church. And the effect that it has, we don't know, but it can be very significant. And if we understand and appreciate the significance of what it is that we are inviting them to, and really let that change our attitude, then we will invite everybody. We'll invite as we have opportunity. We'll invite everybody that we can, because we'll start looking at people the way that God looks at people. He looks at people as somebody who needs to come and drink the everlasting fountain. Come and take freely that which He gives. And it doesn't matter who they are. They need to come because God has invited them. And now, He is using us to extend the invitation in the same way. And we need to take that and put it to work. So let's put it to work today. Invite people to services of the church. You know, as is said in Isaiah and verse 3 of chapter 2, come, let us go. It's as simple as that. Let's go to church. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways. You know, they might look at you funny if you quote that verse to them in your invitation. But if you understand what God is saying here, that He needs to teach us His ways. And if they understand that you go to church, and they can see you and the way that you talk and behave and the difference that you make, then they will understand that God's ways are not the world's ways, and that there is benefit in God. We need to reach out and give them the opportunity, just as God has given us the opportunity. And we need not neglect them or deprive them of that opportunity because of our negligence to just simply reach out and extend an invitation. Come, let us see, as Nathaniel said, come and see Jesus. Come and experience the gospel. Come and hear what the Word of God says. Or you can invite people to study the Bible. We need to all be students of the Bible, and we need to understand and let people understand that Bible study and God worship are reasonable things. They're intelligent things. They're not degrading. And it says a lot about how intelligent that you think that somebody else is whenever you extend
the invitation to study the Bible. The word study itself alarms a lot of people, but if you invite them to come and look at God's Word and understand it, because it is reasonable, it is intelligent, and it is understandable, okay? We need to understand that God's Word is something that we can share just by opening up our Bible and reading it with somebody. Well, what does it say about this subject? Well, let's turn here and give them the example of somebody that you know have played out and answer their question. It's as simple as that. More important than that, invite people to obey the gospel of Christ. Have you talked to somebody about the gospel of Christ? Well, invite them to obey the gospel. Okay. Invite them to come and let Jesus release that burden of guilt, that burden of sin. Come, you all you who labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11 and in verse 28, Jesus says, "And I will give you rest." That's all. All who are not Christian, all who don't have Jesus as their mediator, who don't have the forgiveness of sins and the blood of Christ to wash away their sins. That's everybody else. And Jesus offers that very thing, the forgiveness of sins. And just like Paul, who was Saul, in Acts 22 and verse 16, as he's recounting his own conversion, Ananias, well, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? And that's an urgency that I think that we should all feel about our connections, about our family and our friends, the urgency that the gospel calls for. Once you understand and believe, then that urgency, it's amplified just a zillion times, because now you don't want to waste any more time. Why are you waiting? Ananias said, "Arise and be baptized. Calling on the name, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Because folks, that's how their sins are forgiven. That's how they become a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's through obedience of the gospel. And if we've gotten somewhere with them in the gospel message, then we need to start trying to extend the invitation to obey the gospel. Some people are just waiting for you to ask. Some people are just waiting for the encouragement to do that thing. And that's how it goes sometimes. Some people are just waiting for a reason. And it's usually because somebody has nudged them forward a little bit in obeying the gospel. Why are you waiting? There's no reason to wait any longer. As a matter of fact, you're in danger if you don't obey the gospel. Arise and be baptized. Monday morning, Lord willing, or Monday evening, I should say, I'm going to preach a very simple gospel message, and it's going to go pretty linear. It's your basic gospel message, but it's, you know, I would encourage you, if you have friends who are not Christians, to invite them especially to that message, because I feel like the gospel message, it is still God's power of salvation to all who believe, to everybody. And they need to hear the gospel. A lot of times we preach a lot of sermons, but the simple gospel is left out of the equation, because sometimes preachers or people feel like that it's too simple of a message. Well, folks, the gospel is a simple message. It's an easy-to-understand instruction, and people need to understand it. They need to hear it, and they can't hear it unless you invite them to come hear it or you tell it to them. Never give up extending invitations. As simple as writing a note, writing a letter, or put it on a card and mail it to their house. You know, make it as fancy or as simple as you need to. Or, you know, just tell them. Just go to their house and knock on their door, or when you see them at work, or in the morning on the way to school, or, you know, one of your classes, invite them to come to hear the Word of God. We need to understand the significance of who we are, Christians. We're followers of Christ. And we are followers of Christ because we have obeyed the gospel. And we are here in worshiping as the assembly of God, as the body of Christ, as God's people, as the church of Christ, as His disciples, and not at church A, B, C, D, E, F, G down the street. Because we feel and believe that we worship the truth. Invite them to hear the truth. They're going to get it somewhere. And it might not be the real gospel. It may not be the real truth. But never give up. Because people often make excuses of why they can't come. And Jesus told a parable and said, a man gave a certain supper, a great supper, and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time and say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. But they with one accord began to make excuses. And the first said to him, I bought a piece of land and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Excuse after excuse after excuse. Now Jesus is saying why people would not come to this great supper, even though He extended the invitation to all of them. They didn't come. They made excuses. And then what did He do? Well, in verse 21 of Luke 14, that servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house, being angry, said, go quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. He didn't cancel because people wouldn't come. He just invited different people. And that's what we should do too. Simply extend the invitation to others. If somebody says no to you, ask somebody else. Don't get discouraged and feel like that invitations are silly, or they're not important, or they're old school. People don't come just because I asked them to anymore. The gospel is still significant enough to invite another person. Simply extend it to somebody else. Have we made evangelism more difficult than it really is? You know, calling it a personal work may not help, because that puts a burden on it and makes it feel like it's something difficult because of the word work. Whenever it can be as simple as extending an invitation, just asking somebody to come. Just come with me. Let them know how important they are to you, and let them know how important they are to God, and understand the significance of God's message yourself. Whenever we invite somebody to come, we acknowledge what God can do, and we acknowledge who He is, that He offers by His grace eternal salvation to all who believe and obey, just like me, just like you. You obeyed the gospel, you became a disciple of Christ, and God asking you now, ask somebody else. Ask somebody else to come. It transformed the lives of many people in the Bible. Peter, brother of Andrew. It's transformed the lives of countless thousands ever since. And I'll say, you know, maybe souls aren't saved today, simply because they're not being invited to hear. God and Jesus both believe the power of an invitation, and they invite us to believe and obey the wonderful gospel of Christ. And I'll end with this question. Have you accepted that wonderful, marvelous invitation that Jesus offers? Come to me, and I will give you rest. If you are willing to obey the gospel. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, before we move on to the next lesson, be sure that you ask somebody and that you do so. I appreciate it.